Well, hello. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Monday morning. We're off and running on a new week right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. You're so glad you're along for this 27th day of September 2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And you're waking up to what should be overall after today. Pretty nice weather week for the entire week. But today will be, looks like, fairly wet. Some showers around off and on throughout the day today, and 18 degrees will be the high once that moves out. Rest of the week looks, for the most part, dry. Sun and clouds tomorrow and Wednesday. Highs both days 16. It's a little below normal, slightly. And then starting Thursday, Friday, and looks like Saturday and Sunday at this point, solid sunshine through the latter part of the week into the weekend. So that's good. Right now, as you wake up this morning, it is 10 degrees in Ottawa as we say good morning and hello to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm outstanding, Jared. Nice weekend, beautiful weather, hit the ice for a little coaching, watched a little sports yesterday, and even tuned in for a little Ryder Cup, so it was a very nice weekend. How are you?
I am excellent, thank you. Yeah, that turned out to be a much better weekend than the forecast had suggested that it would be. I think by the time Friday rolled around, it was like, well, Saturday looks nice, Sunday, bit of a washout, and then yesterday turned out to be.
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, we had some brief shower. It was a beautiful day, and all of a sudden, it rained for like 5 minutes. I didn't even know it rained. I'm watching football. I go out, and I look on the deck, and it's wet. Did it rain? And then it was sunny again. So anyway, yeah, it was overall pretty good-looking weekend and a pretty nice week after today ahead. So, all right, well, we got, as you can tell by that sports report, a lot to get to today, and we had a first, as you like to call them, nice ice hockey match last night for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
Settling in for that. It's a good way to sort of finish off a weekend, right? What have I got to learn? You know, it's like everybody has the Sunday night blahs. Oh, I got to get back to it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a good hockey game to tune into last night.
Yeah.
Finish off the weekend.
Yeah, I tried to watch a little of the Packers, 49ers. Yeah, again, it ended up being pretty good. But no, it was nice. And I think what was happening, I saw Goody put out his tweet in going, the appreciation he has. I saw even Mark Methot saying how much he hated playing exhibition games back in the day. But with the way the world is at and where he's at now, he'd love to be there, JR. And I think there was just, hey, appreciation that we're playing. Now it's another Canadian team, and most of the exhibition games are, but just to have some fans in the stands to see some of the young players playing. And I guess, again, it's been a long off season for Ottawa. I totally agree. It was just nice to sit down and didn't even have expectations, just kind of watching individual players and just enjoying it.
All right, well, we'll go through it throughout the morning. Always welcome your thoughts and anything you saw, who impressed, who didn't. And of course, we'll talk about the trade that Ottawa made on the weekend as well. We can tell as you wake up this morning, well, unless there's been an update in the last 30 seconds. What's up, Chuck? Nothing's up with Brady Tkachuk, correct, Simmer?
Nothing.
Nothing new from your source, heavy early?
No, nothing. But I would say this, JR, is that any holdout or anything, we talk about it, but I would say, hey, let's just be honest here. And this is for both sides and not fault on anyone. But hey, 2 weeks from Thursday is opening night. You are going to start creeping into a territory where it's not a lost season and fella can sign at any time. But hey, if you're having real, real good talks, and this is both sides, you hammer out a deal, JR. Like, this is time to stop talking and just start, hey, let's figure out, man. We're running out of track here. Let's get something done.
Brady, what's it going to take you to get into this contract right here?
Exactly. And I've actually got a loaner vehicle from Ford. We're going to pick you up at the airport.
Oh, nice F-150.
Get rid of that Mercedes. You don't need foreign vehicles here. Here you go. Let's just get rocking and rolling. But it really is. Like, you can go back and forth all you want, JR. And there's different pressure points. And I'm not saying for a minute you're really at that spot. But I think it would be, well, this is nobody. Yeah. Hey, it's best for both sides to wrap this bad boy up. Agree?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, today is Monday. And again, an agreement can happen at any point. But the Sens will not practice today. At best, I would think at best, he would be back here by the middle of the week, which means he's already missed a week of the three-week training camp. So, as you said, time's a ticking.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We'll keep you up to date on that, but there is nothing new on the Brady Tkachuk front. So that is the other exclamation point on the Sens weekend. All right, we'll get into all the NFL stuff, baseball as well, entering its final week. The Ryder Cup ended up being a blowout and really not that interesting when it was all said and done. Happy birthday today to Randy Bachman from BTO, Bachman Turner Overdrive, who is 78 years old today. How much money do you think, and I don't have an answer, how much money do you think that Randy Bachman has made from residuals for taking care of business How many times has that been used in a commercial for some pretty high-rolling companies that would probably have stroking out a check for what will it take to get taken care of business the theme for our television commercial?
Yeah, great point. Or did they actually hashtag or get the – because in the United States, they were known as the three fat beer-drinking Canadians. They used to joke, hey, there's BTO. But they had some great tunes, right? You think around that time. I think about the Guess Who of a couple of big Canadian bands. But you're right. They've got some – hey, they made it into the United States share. And that's for a lot of Canadian bands. That's where you hit the gold, right? And that album right there, or not album, but they've got a couple of songs there that everybody in the planet's pretty familiar with.
Speaking of musicians, one Canadian also celebrating a birthday today in just a second. But Meatloaf, speaking of maybe larger humans, Meatloaf is 74 years old today. Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Oh, absolutely, huh?
All about first base, second base, third base, and racing home.
Yeah, I would say not the most handsome character, but certainly has had a long go. And
cashed a lot of checks,
maybe. All of a sudden had that other, he'd gone away for a long time, right? And then early 2000s, ended up having a pretty big hit again, and kind of has continued along. And I would almost put his, that big song right there, not that they don't have other tunes, JR, but it reminds me of the Boston album that I had, where I just played that same Boston song over and over. Is it More Than a Feeling?
Oh, yeah.
And for Meatloaf, that was really the go-to.
That one, or
I could do anything. Exactly. That came out in 2000s, did it not?
I don't know.
Yeah, because it reminds me really of...
I try to forget, really.
And I think Celine Dion did a version of it. But yeah, long-time rockers, these guys. And yeah, it's a long career in the 70s.
All right, and last but not least on the birthday list, back to the Canadians, the pride of Napanee, Avril Lavigne is 37 years old today. Of course, Napanee, best known for the Flying J gas station that you might stop at because it Hammer, correct me if I'm wrong, always has a pretty good price?
Not as much as it used to.
All right.
No, I'm not stopping there at all anymore.
Wow.
No.
Whoa, that
Sorry,
sounds
Flying
like
J.
That sounds like bitterness.
I'm stepping off
like
the highway.
Eastern Ontario gas station snobbery.
You're not catching me there.
I played a golf tournament a couple of weeks ago there, the Wally and Mathot Jair, and I was heading out. I like to take the back roads instead of hopping to the highway coming from old North Manitic. And I was near Richmond, and right at one of the corners, I'm sure everyone knows it, there's a Drummond gas station.
Yes, yes.
The old school pumps there. I was laughing at it. I had to remember that you had to actually lift the knob to get it going, right? And there wasn't exactly a pay there. That was actually pretty cool. So I grabbed that right there and drove through Richmond. And I'm assuming, is that what Warnsey always talked about, the rink that he played at? Is that
it was, Richmond Arena, right downtown.
Yeah, just gorgeous little.
Downtown, air quotes.
Yes, exactly. That's true. Yeah.
All right, Richmond's growing, it's becoming a downtown.
That's true.
That whole area is just, it just keeps. Canada just keeps moving, hey? It's incredible.
Well, that's more Stittsville. But,
That's true. Yeah.
So I want to get back to this. Why the bitterness over the Flying J?
Oh, it's just
did you get ripped off at some point?
No, it's just like an en route now. It really is. It's no different than one of those service stations right off the highway.
Okay, are you...
So it's a rip.
Okay, are you more inclined to, when you're coming back from Bell Vegas, take a little trip down Highway 49 on the road to Picton, where the gas can be much substantially cheaper?
That sounds like it's a little bit out of my way, to be honest with you.
Minutes to save $5.
It's not worth it.
Not worth
not
it.
Not here.
And
not
also,
me.
The one gas station has the Subway with it as well. So
that you can get me.
And the Subway.
Yeah. Avril Lavigne, kind of smallish, right? Is she the one that has...
Yeah.
Very
tiny.
Yeah, the teeth are a bit mixed up. Plays the guitar.
No particular order.
The teeth are a bit mixed up.
she was married to Nickelback guy for a while.
She appeared to Hammer. Did you see her on one of the celebrity roasts? And
what was she doing on that show?
No, she was taking shots at people, and she was so good. I can't remember which one it was. I think it might have been Martin Sheen. And she got on there with a guitar, and she was just hilarious. Like, just, you know, some of these people that they, Martha Stewart to Peyton Manning. Yeah, she ended up being on one of them. And like I said, it was really, really funny.
Who knew?
Super. But she's real talented with the guitar. Is she
absolutely.
Not? Yeah, that's her. Yeah.
Well, when she broke out, I mean, she was.
People
she was
in the know call it the axe. She's really good with the axe.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And that's JR. Yeah. That's the people in the know. He never calls it a guitar. He always calls it an axe.
If I'm going to call it a guitar, I'm going guitar.
Guitar.
That's what I'm going with right there. All right. Well, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you on this September 27th. And with that, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we got tons to get to. We got the Sens. First game last night, they won twice, crazily enough. They made a trade on the weekend. So we'll go through all of that and all the other NHL news from the weekend. We'll talk about the NFL as week number three. We'll wrap up tonight, but some tremendous finishes to games yesterday. Some record-breaking finishes and, a dramatic finish to the Sunday night game. So we'll go through all that with you and, of course, get you set for the Red Blacks. The weather will be good tomorrow night. And there'll be a new rookie for everybody complaining about the quarterbacking. Two rookie quarterbacks. Which one is going to start? Maybe head coach Paul Lapolice will let us in on the secret. He's going to join us at 7:20 this morning, in an hour from now. Look forward to talking to the Red Blacks coach ahead of their game with Edmonton coming up tomorrow night. So we'll get into that. And, of course, the baseball regular season as well. Final week of the season is upon us. Blue Jays are one game out of the wild card spot as they start the new week. All right, so all that, we'll have some great prizes to give away this morning. And, of course, your chance to win $1,000 just before 8 o'clock. And then after 8, it's the return of the 8 o'clock hockey stop. And one of our two new hosts for that, Dave Poulin, will join us coming up this morning after 8 o'clock. Look forward to talking to Dave Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from here forward. And Mike Johnson will be our Tuesday and Thursday guys. So we look forward to getting all their great insights into hockey. That all starts later on this morning. And then after 9, Duke Ellington will talk NFL with us. All right, we're off and rolling. It's good to have you with us here on a Monday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
We're back. How's it going, everybody? 6:24, JR, Simmer, and Hammer. We got a very, very, very busy show today. We've got tons to give away. We've got tons of guests. We got lots to get through. I mean, when it comes to weekends for sports, and you know what? I mean, it was exhibition hockey, but it was hockey. We had hockey. We had football. We had baseball. If you're into it, we had golf. Of course, we have UFC. We have the kind of the regular, the soccer and all that other stuff. I mean, was there anything that, is there anything that wasn't happening this weekend that you wanted to watch? Yeah.
Where's the NBA?
There you go.
No, but you're right.
The only thing that wasn't going on this weekend. It was a crazy weekend. You sort of felt bad with the nice weather, kind of shutting yourself in, but it was just too much good stuff. So we'll start with what ended the weekend, and that was the Sens game last night in Winnipeg, the exhibition opener versus the Jets. Oh, Dean and Gord were like Thumper the Rabbit. Their first time out on the road in 18 months in Winnipeg to call the game. It was, a pretty entertaining game for an exhibition game. And it went to overtime.
Shane Pinto makes his way down to the Winnipeg line and in. Cuts in through two. Takes it wide. Pinto in the corner. Swings back at the Winnipeg goal. Back out the high slot. Just carries on. Gets a shot away. Scores! Pinto blows a top shelf on Comrie and wins this thing in 25 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go. There's Dean Brown. Gord Wilson with the call of Shane Pinto's solo effort to win the game in overtime 3-2, just for good measure. They also had a shootout. This is an option that the two teams can agree on, whether a game goes to overtime or not. They can also have a shootout because they'd like to practice that as well. So they decided before the game, we're going to have a shootout too. Oh, and the Sens won that one too. It actually went to four shots, but Shane Pinto had a very nice shootout goal, and Eric Brandstrom had a pretty sweet shootout goal to win it. So Ottawa won that one 2-1. So overall, some thoughts, Simmer, on the game last night?
Nice to watch the young players. Boy, that outlet pass that Thompson made and then Ridley Gregg scoring the goal in the skates backhand. I don't know if he's on his way to Brandon. I also thought pretty good chances he starts his NHL career. He'll probably be suspended. But that was a freaking cry. That was a mid-season, the Chicklets. No. And you know what? For Dubois, this is what, and it's funny because Mark Mathot was talking about not liking exhibition games, JR. You're so pissed off. Like, if you're a veteran player,
well, you could see
are you kidding me? It's exhibition, buddy. And some junior guy is cross-checking me. He looked great. Formanton is really starting to come into his own physically. And if he can ever learn to play well with others, JR, the guy's going to be unbelievable. But even at that, he's good. I thought Pinto looked good. I thought Brandstrom has been very assertive here in the preseason. And overall, some good things from a lot of the young players.
Philip Gustafson as well, I thought, when he came in for the second half of the game, made some real big saves in the third period. He didn't allow a goal. So, of all the, and really the exhibition season, As it goes on, you'll see more of the veteran guys, the guys who you know are going to be on the team, and they'll be, you know, getting into power play and PK and all that kind of stuff. This is really the early part of exhibition is about assessing who is close to being ready or not. And in terms of the young guys that are close, I mean, I thought they pretty much all performed either at or above expectation last night. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, very much so. Even Sokolov, JR, and watching him from what I saw in that first rookie game to other spots there, I'm not nearly as concerned kind of the overall pitcher. Now, as to whether or not he's ready now, I don't think so. But, hey, it is really just one of those cases. If you think of how far he's come and at the age that he's at, no doubt you've got a player. And, yeah, from the Sens' perspective, Pinto just looks like a man. Kind of the same thing that we saw when he finished off last year, right? I mean, I think this is going to be some interesting competition, obviously, between he and Tierney and White for kind of that two slot as to how this plays out. So, no, if you're Sens, and that is real different. The people up top are watching the individuals, and the coaches, of course, are watching the team play, but lots of good things from the young players.
The very first shot as they're about to drop the puck on the television coverage last night, take a shot of the Ottawa bench, and there's DJ Smith. And, man, he is in mid-season form. He's got the gum going, and he's got the water bottle, and it's like, DJ is ready to go.
Yeah.
Here was his thoughts after the game.
First and third, pretty good periods. Obviously, second period, it's a different period in the National Hockey League. We just didn't have any zone time and, you know, took a lot of penalties. But, real good goaltending, in the third period kept us alive and we found a way to score.
All right. The only thing we were missing there from true DJ Smith is a couple of for sures. Because we always use a lot of answers to start. I'm kind of working on it. It's going to take maybe the better part of the season when I'm going to get into a DJ Smith impersonation.
Yeah, and when I also watch Sports JR, now I start to say to myself, where the hell did life go? And, of course, you got a couple of former Windsor Spitfire defensemen in Paul Maurice. And pretty cool when you think of between Joel Quenneville and how many Windsor guys. But I'm looking, and did they say Paul's 27th year as a coach in the National Hockey League?
That's crazy.
Paul's only a year older than me.
Yeah. he started when he was 28.
Well,
so
exactly. But a year or two, whatever it is. And for DJ Smith and the whole crew, this is amazing, JR. And I even feel it. I got to be honest with you. The last week they're going out to practice. I think if you're into hockey and if you're into professional hockey or you're covering it, I just find the old competitive juices are just flying. And I think everybody, a little bit of being back to normal too, right? And I think for the Sens, I'm not going to pretend for a minute that the rebuild is done. Not going to pretend for a minute. I think they'll even make the playoffs. But what we are starting to see when you turn this on is a wave of young players who are already on the team. Even watching Thompson more and more as I watch him. Not the biggest guy in the world, but I totally recognize with the skating, the first pass, once he gets better, he's going to be a nice player. So it's just a lot of kids there that really have legitimate chances to play.
I don't know if he's been asked about this, have a new pronunciation of his first name as well, Lasse, apparently.
Little French flair.
I'm not sure what was going on.
Who said that?
The television broadcast. He insisted on calling him Lasse Thompson. As in laissez-faire. I wanted to go with laissez-faire.
Or
Lasse
like
Thompson.
Lasse the
dog.
Well,
I would look at it and I'll go, well, yeah, it's kind of like, well, it's L-A-S-S-I. Yeah. Everybody, it's not really one of those ones that you really need to go off the page for. But
maybe they're so used to watching Line A as lazy.
That's
maybe
true.
Lazy. Hey?
I'm not sure. Anyway, I agree with you. I mean, Lasse Thompson has been one of the and it's just because they've had so many high picks, right? And it's kind of like, we'll debate this guy and that guy. And he's almost like he's a little bit forgotten in this entire thing. And also, one thing about Troy Mann, when he's been asked about Lasse Thompson, has always said he's going to be a guy that probably is going to need some extra time. He's not a defenseman that he's going to jump right out at you and be able to jump right into the National Hockey League. Like, that's a hard thing to do, period. But he was very upfront all along that this guy is a good skill set, but it's going to be a longer path for him to get there.
You know, and again, Jer, we often talk about goaltenders, and this has been a problem for the organization is maybe they just didn't draft very good defensemen, but the last 10 years, be honest, I mean, hey, they haven't had a whole lot come through. Now, every time you bring in a new guy, an older guy, you're kind of waning, and I think in the case of Thompson, and I'll say this with JBD as well, I don't think even necessarily in a year he's going to be ready. I look at a guy that, as they both fill out, both are taught how to play properly, you know, you're going to get to about 24 or 25 before you finally see it. And we always say that with goaltenders, it's not that far off with defensemen, right? You got to be very, very patient. And today, in today's National Hockey League, your ability to defend, you know, it's tough for a boy to play that position. And it, as you say, that long haul. And also with him, it was just weird where you have a kid play junior and then go back to Europe, right? It's almost out of sight, out of mind.
Yes, for sure.
You know,
Exactly. I want to finish kind of thoughts on players. We brought up Ridly Gregg because, of course, for the Dubois hit that got him kicked out of the game, his fingerprints were all over that game. But the goal he scored in the first period, that is for someone who's still junior eligible, 19 years old, to have the chutzpah. To do that, I'm going to tuck this into my skate, kick it back up to my stick.
That was Pavel Bure, and I'm going to actually
move it into the corner.
No. I'm going to go backhand sauce. Like, wow. And that was really, and you just watch this guy, and people keep comparing him to Gallagher. I don't see any of that other than the feisty part. And I'm not saying, hey, Gallagher's a 30-goal scorer, JR, and this guy's also a real good player. But the way he skates around, I'll have to figure out something. But, boy, what an effective player. What a set of wheels. What confidence he has. And really curious to watch him a full year junior this year and world junior. Like, that's a world junior player that I think, wow, this is going to be real fun to watch him.
And again, an example of and this is where the rules that were brought in for this year, if you played, was it 25 American
22
hockey, 22 American yeah. Hockey League games last year as a junior age player, you are allowed to play in the American Hockey League. Well, he didn't get to that because he had COVID and he had some injuries, and then they actually did play some games in the WHL. So he is not eligible to play in Belleville, but he would be the perfect example of a guy who probably is going to be, and you may not see it statistically, he's not going to score 200 points this year out in Brandon.
Well, 170 is the record by Ray Ferraro.
Yeah, but the better development path for him, in all likelihood, would be to play in the American Hockey League this year, but he's probably going to end up playing in Belleville.
You know what, Jerry?
Or in Brandon.
Yeah, you know what? It is such an incredible debate, and I kind of look at it a few ways of, okay, if you, for this year, and just from the Ontario Hockey League, is going to be hurt to some extent, because Byfield to Drysdale to Perfetti probably won't come back. Each time you peel away the layer like that, what it does into development in junior hockey, it's a real interesting argument. The issue I would have if I'm a CHL player, though, is why are all the European kids now and the NCAA kids all eligible to play and I'm not? Do you know what I mean? And the rule was obviously always there because they had a great relationship and they wanted to protect the brand. But what's also happened with the American League, JR, it's gotten younger and younger. Like, I would have never wanted a 19-year-old to play in the American League 25 years ago or 20 years ago, but it has changed. Now, in his case, I'll also argue that, hey, I understand what you're saying, but he also in last year not playing a lot. It's not going to hurt him to have a year junior, but you're right. And from a Sens perspective, you'd love to have him in-house if you could.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He is looking like for a 28th pick. And again, once you get past, and I don't care how deep the draft is, once you get past the 20th pick, by and large, all the guys, you can look at it statistically, you can follow the flow chart and see that once you get past about the 20th pick in the first round, there really isn't that much difference between a guy drafted late in the first round in terms of making the National Hockey League and a fourth or a fifth round pick.
Yeah,
so if you can get a good NHL player in the last part of the first round of the draft, you've done something. And it looks like at this stage the Ottawa Senators have themselves a player.
You know what? And I won't take a second away from what Mann's doing, JR, but I'll say this. One of the nice things psychologically, when you have multiple first round picks, and honestly, you can almost at times say you're picking around 15, it's your own pick and you got one in the middle of the second, there's times where you can overthink things. And also for this group, they're so confident. But let's think about this. I mean, I would say at the very least, Pinto is going to be a second line center. Ridly Gregg's probably going to be the same thing. Both of those players were taken. One was at the 28th, and what was Pinto?
32.
Yeah. Like that drafting right there. Now mix in what was the obvious of Stutzla to Sanderson, and just start to go through the lineup to Batherson to Sokolov. Like, my God, honestly, I can't believe that there's another organization in the leagues that's drafted as well as Ottawa. I mean, I know LA gets pumped up, but hey, you go through this drafting and development, they are in a position that I just don't think there's another team like that. Like, you go through, as I said in the rookie game, I could go 12 deep on legitimate players who are going to play, and this isn't because I'm living in Ottawa. These are guys. Like, go through Winnipeg or go through other teams, you'll be hard pressed to find four or five guys that have a legitimate chance. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So overall, very good night for the Sens to kick it off last night. So they win the game, they win the shootout. All the important players, for the most part, played very well, and also don't think there was any injuries as well, which is a big part. I am assuming that they'll be off today, practice tomorrow, and then the Leafs are here for the home exhibition opener on Wednesday. We are going to see probably a little more star power as far as Ottawa is concerned. in terms of the lineup. I would imagine we would see Norris and Batherson, and I would imagine we would see probably Stützle, probably that whole line, Stützle, Tierney, yeah. And Brown,
yeah.
And whomever they're going to stick on the, Kachuk won't play even if he is signed by then. Mm-hmm. Whoever they're going to stick, Nick Paul, I guess, on the left side of that line. We'll see those two lines. We'll see Shabbat. He didn't play last night, and Zub, I guess, together. So, and Matt Murray, I would think we see probably at least half of what and the upper half of Ottawa's regular season lineup will play on Wednesday night.
And one thing they'll want to do this year, Jer, and it was difficult last year because he started a season, with the way they want to start this year as well, you don't want to waste a bunch of time. And I like Tierney so far in camp, but if Tierney's not good enough to play with these guys, don't get through all the training camp and then decide last minute you want to make a change. If you watch Shabbat and Zub, which I think is going to be elite, that's fine. But if you realize right away that Delzato and Zaitsev aren't going to work, make changes. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't go through the whole preseason with all these sets and then all of a sudden realize they don't work. You got to make some decisions here pretty quickly on, you know, Paul playing with Norris and Batherson. Well, you know, that's kind of a placeholder, but I think the rest of it there, you get down to business pretty quickly here to figure out, hey, well, what do I want to do on opening night and what's going to work, and don't stay the path if it's not like they did last year.
All right, busy week ahead for the Sens in terms of games. There are three exhibition games this week. As mentioned, Leafs are here Wednesday, Habs are here Friday, and then they play a return game. Hang on now. They play Toronto or Montreal on Saturday? I think it's Montreal.
Yeah, it is Montreal. Yeah, and Toronto's the following
right,
Saturday.
Right, back here again. Yeah. And then there's like three or four games against the Leafs. So three games this week, Leafs, and then back-to-back with the Habs Friday, Saturday. So we'll have lots more opportunity to get into that. And throughout the morning, we'll talk about the trade the Sens made on the weekend as well, acquiring forward Zach Sanford from St. Louis in exchange for Logan Brown. So we'll get into that as well. Your thoughts on the game, who impressed, who didn't, anything else Sens related, always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. Simmer, the singer with the mismatched teeth, you thought was Avril Lavigne? According to many texts,
Jewel
is who you're thinking of there. Yeah, I cannot believe how many texts.
Okay,
apparently Jewel with mismatched teeth. I had no idea.
No, Jewel does as well. Now, Jewel's the blonde. Is Avril Lavigne the dark hair?
I think it depends on the day you ask.
Okay. Well, Jewel was on with the guitar, and she. Okay, that's
Very strong Christmas album, though. Jewel, got to say, one of our family favorites. Yeah, very. I got a voice of an angel.
Really. My favorite Christmas album of all time was Neil Diamond. I just thought, man, nobody loves Christmas than him. I know. I always found that a bit ironic. Neil Diamond has a Christmas album?
Everybody's got a Christmas album.
He doesn't even celebrate Christmas.
CTC, baby. Cash them checks.
Oh, I know.
6:39. We'll come back. We'll talk some Blue Jays as they head into the final week of the season. Now a game out of the last wild card spot. And what a week it was in the National Football League. What a day it was yesterday with some incredible finishes. We'll get into all that. The U.S. dominates the Ryder Cup. Paul Appelese, head coach of the Red Blacks, joins us next hour right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Back 6:46. There she goes, the birthday girl. Not to be confused with Jewel. And Zimmer, the only one that may be confusing the two. Avril Lavigne, turning 37 years old today. Welcome back, 6:46. Hey, don't forget, it's another Red Blacks Jersey Monday. We're going to have six code words for you throughout the day today here on TSN 1200. And if you get at least one of the six into us, but hey, if you get six in, the better your odds. But you get at least one in, you're into the grand prize draw. We'll have tomorrow morning somebody will win their very own customized New Era Red Blacks jersey to wear proudly at home. Won't have it ready for you for the next game, which is tomorrow night versus Edmonton, but sooner rather than later. And speaking of the Red Blacks, Paul Appelese, head coach, will join us in his new time Mondays at 7:20. That will start this morning. And, well, we got a game tomorrow, oddly enough, a Tuesday game. And we've got very much a question as to who's going to be the quarterback of the Red Blacks. With both the starters being injured in the last game, looks like two raw rookies are going to be vying for the starting spot for the Red Blacks tomorrow.
Yeah, interesting. And I guess old Lapo working on different things, I guess, just trying to get something going offensively. And I guess if you're going to break in as a quarterback, JR, at home, I guess a Tuesday night where the team is at. But yeah, must be an interesting kind of feel. And I guess the old Duckman getting into practice and getting working, and we'll see how that plays out. Like I said, I'm not saying they're going to rush him, but they're going to rush him. If they end up losing tomorrow night and the other fellas are still hurt, I just don't know how you keep going back to the well, Jer. I don't know how you keep doing that.
Yeah, well, you must not be reading or hearing what the coach is. He's very much downplaying Duck Hodges.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's even more certainty that he's going to play.
Yeah, I'll say it'll be at least a couple of weeks,
if not
longer. But maybe we should have our usual 50,000 on that one.
Yeah.
All right, 6:47. So, again, a code word coming up. First one before 8 o'clock this morning, so stand by for that. Also, we're going to have a big concert announcement. That we'll have, that we're told we cannot say until 7 o'clock this morning. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to tell you right after the 7 o'clock news. Not only are we going to tell you who it is, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the show. How's that sound? Sounds pretty good if you ask me. Way to go. Okay, so that's coming up just after 7 o'clock.
Way to go what?
Just a general way to go. It's like a good thing. It's like a happy dance right there. Okay, Dave Poulin, as mentioned, is by after 8. We're going to start our 8 o'clock hockey spot. Looking forward to that. So Dave will be on with us Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Takes two men to pull off Pierre Maguire's job for 20 years, right? And then Mike Johnson will be with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Look forward to getting some great insight from those two guys.
Yeah, gave an assignment to both of them. I said, listen, you better know the prep schools of all these American kids. Pooley, I'm confident in, but actually Johnny, MJ's pretty big on the college stuff there.
Yeah, both NCAA players.
Yeah,
right?
We even had a little debate on Twitter as to whether Boucher should be at college. And he loves college, what I understand, Jer. If you could go to BU for 10 years as a hockey player, you would. It's a great place to play.
Except you can't make any money.
Well, yeah,
allegedly.
But it's so much fun. I understand it. So no, I really not just saying this, just from a hockey standpoint, we were lucky to have Pierre for years, but to have two guys like this coming on, it's going to make hockey season a lot of fun, a little bit of variety, and it just doesn't get any better. Like quite sincerely, when you watch hockey in the United States or Canada, they are amongst, if not the best in the business.
All right, look forward to that starting after 8 o'clock this morning. We'll talk some NFL in just a second. A dramatic end to the Sunday night game last night between the Packers and the Niners. But let's go to baseball because we're into the final week of the regular season and the Jays will go in one game back of the final wild card spot thanks in part to this.
0-2. There's a swing and a high fly ball out to left center field. Buxton going to the wall at the bullpen. He stops. It's gone! Danny Jansen with a three-run home run and the Blue Jays have the early lead.
I like lots of things about Danny Jansen, but I don't like the safety glasses. I gotta say.
He needs to see.
I know he needs to see. He just needs different frames. That's all.
You like, want some contact lenses?
Who was the pitcher that had the glasses going there a couple of years ago? Remember the lefty?
Big old gogglers?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Come on, Blue Jay.
He left, went to St. Louis, went to the Cards.
Yeah.
And that goes back to Hanke, does it not? And then there were a bunch of guys.
Tom Hanke had like 1960s eyeglasses.
Shopper's Drug Mart glasses.
I think we did a segment on it, Ian, one day, and he ended up having a whole bunch of guys went with a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Remember the old Cincinnati Reds player? I don't even think he was
Chris Sabo.
Yeah, Chris Sabo, right? There were a whole bunch of guys that had the goggles. Well, nobody was better than Kurt Rambis. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Full on NBA.
Well, I get it in the NBA. I don't.
You get it in the NBA wearing regular glasses?
I meant like having eyewear if you need A, C, and B, protect your eyes. With a catcher with it that wears a mask. And I get it. If he needs to see. I'm just not a fan of the way they look. But
I don't know what you want. If you get a ball in the face, you don't want contact lenses smashing into your eyeball.
I just want different frames. That's all. Get to Lens Crafters, for goodness sakes.
Get to the LASIK eye surgery.
JR
can get you a deal.
Eye Center.
I like the Brett Cecil look. I don't mind that at all.
Is he still in the major leagues?
I have no idea. Last picture I saw there when I Googled it because I could not remember. It's all
a carryover from Wild Thing. Okay? That's what it all goes back to. Major League.
He would be one of those guys that's thankful that he was born left-handed.
Absolutely.
Can we just put it that way?
He made some nice cash just being left-handed. No doubt.
And I say that as a left-hander. All right. So anyway, Blue Jays go on to win. They beat Minnesota 5-2. So they'll go into the final week of the regular season, one game back, the wild card that is held by what? Boston? The Red Sox got swept at home at Fenway by the Yankees, including last night, coughed up a lead in the eighth inning and lost to the Yankees 6-3. So New York goes in there and wins all three games. When we talked about this on Friday, did we not say the very best result for the Red Sox-Yankees series for the Blue Jays would be a Red Sox sweep?
Yep.
And instead it was, you know what? I guess of the two, a sweep by one or the other, it's probably Red Sox sweep would have been best, Yankee sweep second best. the opposite would be or third would be some sort of split. So it probably works out maybe a little bit better.
But now you're home to a red-hot Yankees team coming off a sweep of their biggest rival. And that's something that worries me a lot going forward into this series, is that the Yankees are healthy and they're riding high, sweeping the Red Sox.
Yeah, but the Red Sox, well, now the Red Sox schedule, by the way, so the Jays will play the Yankees. Three-game series starts tomorrow. So they're off today, and that starts tomorrow, three games. And then the Jays will finish off three games against Baltimore. Boston's three games this week, while Toronto and New York are playing each other, is against the Orioles. And then they play the Nats. And the Nats have pretty much cashed in their season as well. So Boston is on the road but has six very winnable games. We'll put it that way. Yankees and Blue Jays. Well, Toronto...
I gave the Jays three more losses. They've got two left.
At bare minimum, they can't lose more than one of the games against the Yankees. And really, I mean, if they can sweep, they put themselves in the driver's seat to make the playoffs for sure, because they play Baltimore in the weekend to finish. But if they only win one of the three, I think they're cooked. I think they're done.
How about a wild card play-in to get into the wild card game? How about that? Yeah. How about damn apples?
I think that sounds really dumb.
You
actually
just see, anybody that grew up in Expos and Jays fans realize you're going to lose like two or three, and you're going to end up one game out. Like that's historically why baseball works your hammer. You're too young to remember the good Tony Fernandez meltdown back in the day versus the Tigers.
Yeah.
And I feel like as an Expos fan, early 80s JR, every year they went into a three-game set against the Pirates and Phillies.
Frickin' Mike Schmidt.
And would drop
another home run.
Yeah, we would drop two out of three. Like, it just felt like
you,
that
Dave Parker.
Was that Tony Fernandez getting hurt?
Yes. And then Manny Lee coming in and allowing one to go between the wickets for a game winning run. And then
they were 7-up, I think, on the Tigers at that time.
And then
Hammer
Frank,
and lost.
Frank Tanana somehow throwing 60 miles an hour, throwing a complete game shutout in the final game of the season to lose 1-0 on a home run that should have been caught at the left field.
I never,
by Larry Herndon.
Yeah. I never want to hear that Trammell to Whitaker. I never want to hear that Trammell to Whitaker double play ever again.
Hang on now. Was that game 34 years ago? Oh, my God. Wow.
Was that 86 or 87, Jared?
87.
Oh, okay.
87 was
it. It seems like it was just yesterday.
Epic blue game.
I could still see when Tony got swiped and him fall.
Right on his elbow.
And he wasn't the largest man to start with.
No,
and
no.
I was like, that's probably not good. And not the best turf in the world back in the day.
No.
Old Exhibition. I think that was Exhibition Stadium,
was.
Right?
Yeah, it was for
sure. Yeah, it wouldn't have been SkyDome yet.
All right, so that's the Blue Jay story. Final week of the season is here. I got the Yankees series starts tomorrow. Okay, let's take it back to late last night here as the final game of the Sunday NFL schedule was a barn. Didn't look like it was going to be. Packers were up 17-0 on the Niners, San Francisco. Full credit to Mr. Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, for going for it on the final play of the first half, not kicking the field goal. They got the touchdown anyway. They come all the way back. They eventually go ahead in the final minute on a touchdown, 28-27. So Green Bay gets the ball on their own 25, 37 seconds left. No timeouts. It's Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams. It's Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams again. And all of a sudden, with 2 seconds left, the Packers are in field goal position with a chance for Mason Crosby to win the game.
And it is good! It is good! It is good! Mason Crosby has done it again! 51-yard walk-off field goal to win it for the Packers.
That reminds, and I always will take every opportunity to kind of just plunge the knife into a Cowboy fan's back and just twist it a little bit, reminded me of when Green Bay beat Dallas in the playoffs. Remember, I think it was Jared Cook caught the pass right along the sidelines, just got his toes in.
Oh, gosh, yeah,
and then
yeah.
Crosby came in and kicked a long field goal to win that game as well. That was a few years ago in the playoffs. But say what you will about Aaron Rodgers, man. That was, you just felt like he's just one of those guys. He's like Mahomes, that if you just leave even a smidge too much time, and I don't blame San Francisco. They're trying to score a touchdown, but when there was 37 seconds left, you're going, that might be a little bit too much time, and it ended up being a little bit too much time.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it was funny in critiquing some of the ways the clock played out. I think it was the Charger game versus Kansas City, listening to Tony Romo, JR, and kind of how you handle it. And got to admit, because I feel like you especially lead the league and not giving enough respect to my good friend Jimmy G, I was openly really cheering. I'm real down on this Rodgers fella to the point of, but I watch him, and I just can't believe that somebody could be that relaxed and play professional sports at the level he does. Like, it's unreal, right?
Relax.
Like, to watch him, and he just walks out there, it's like he got leisure shoes on, and he makes some of these throws that are just absolutely incredible. And I think, hey, there's nowhere he loves playing more than good old San Francisco, right?
Well, the word was yesterday that all the offseason talk about Aaron Rodgers wanting to get moved, and there was lots of talk about him wanting to get moved and lots of rumors about destination. But so the story goes yesterday by some of the NFL insiders that San Francisco was his desired location.
Yeah.
Of course, he went to Cal,
yeah,
which would make sense.
And that
a
goes
California
back to draft day where they passed on him, right?
Yeah, they drafted Alex Smith with the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So circle of life for San Francisco, but they've moved on. They've got Trey Lance now, so they don't need a quarterback. So he's not going to end up there, but for the here and now. And you could tell by his reaction, by getting the Packers down into field goal range, and then when Crosby made the game-winning kick, Aaron Rodgers is fully invested in winning still. He may not want to be a Packer beyond this season, but for sure he is all in on this season. So that was a big win for Green Bay. They're 2-1. The Niners fall to 2-1 as well. We've got now five unbeaten teams left in the NFL through 3 weeks of the regular season. More on that and throughout the morning, and your thoughts always welcome. Duke Ellingson will join us. We'll talk NFL with him coming up after 9, but we'll take a break right now. Top of the hour news and sports update. We'll have a big concert announcement for you and a pair of tickets to give away just after 7. And Paul Appelese, head coach of the Red Blacks, will join us at 7:20 ahead of their game tomorrow night against Edmonton. That's all straight ahead here on a Monday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.